Okay, folks, here we are in the first lesson of hamartiology. I like saying that. Hamartiology, from the Greek word hamartia, means sin. So this is how we start. We're again it. That's it. Moving on to the next doctrine. 601, that we're against sin. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this Palm Sunday and your arrival into Jerusalem. You set your face as a flint to go to the cross and to purchase our salvation, not from Satan, but from the Father, Lord, who was angry with the sinner every day. And apart from the blood of Christ, the blood atonement of Christ, the covering and cleansing of Christ and his atoning sacrifice, Lord, none of us would be here today. So we are thankful and grateful for so great salvation. Lord, bless this holy week and the culmination of next Sunday as we roll the stone away and see that he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Mm-hmm. So bless this class this morning and those that are on their way still. And Lord, may you grow it and grow us in the process. It's a very serious subject, Lord. We need to get it right so that we can move on to the doctrine of salvation. Mm-hmm. And Lord, until we know we're sinners and condemned and lost, Lord, we can't really ever be found. We can't be saved if we don't think we're lost. Mm-hmm. So Lord, thank you for just what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We pray your mighty blessing over the service today. And Lord, Richard Hill, as he brings the message, and we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll do a true statement here. I got a call on Thursday. I'm planning for the service. I'm going to be in Psalm 33, and I get a call, and I don't normally pick up numbers that I don't recognize. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like I needed to answer the call. Good thing, because it was Dr. Richard Hill. And he said, "Hello, Pete, this is Richard Hill. Hey, Richard, how are you?" "I'm fine." Awkward silence. "Are you ready for me this Sunday?" "What?"
Would you forget?
I did.
Oh, no.
I had booked him sometime last year and just forgot to put it on the calendar.
Oh, no.
And so
you're a human being.
Yes. So you will see it. You will see in your bulletin Psalm 33, but we're going to be doing Israel and prophecy.
Oh,
so it's going to be really great. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm glad that I've picked up. So let's start with...
Oh my goodness, if you would have just showed up.
That would have been fun.
And you would have seen the pastor's footwork.
I found that verse.
Yes,
it's
awesome.
1 Timothy 2:14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor.
Wow, excellent.
So that means that God held Adam accountable because he knew what he was doing, but the woman was deceived. And so... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which scripture again?
Sorry. 1 Timothy 2:14.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
What is the feminine for scholar? That's...
Scholarette.
Those that are listening online, just turn this off. All right. All right. When I survey the wondrous cross, think of the words as we sing this morning. Because we're kind of doing that, aren't we, in this Holy Week? We're looking down the quarters of time, past tense, at what Christ has done. But the people in the Old Testament were looking forward to what Christ would do. And so we're surveying from both directions, the center of all of history, Christ and his cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, My riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? His dying crib, sun-like a robe, spread for His body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Isn't that amazing? What a great, great hymn of the faith.
I've never heard verse 4 before.
No, I haven't either. And I should have looked over it to make sure it was right. I just assumed it was when I downloaded it today. But you know what? As we look at the cross, we see grace there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And grace greater than our sin. Mm-hmm. And this is the subject of our new study, the doctrine of sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
We're going to sing verses 2, 3, and 4, and then the refrain, okay?
Sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away. Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Special greetings to Pat and Karen this morning. Good to see you.
Morning, daughter Cherokee.
Hi, Cherokee.
Cherokee, hello, I love that.
And you just embarrassed her. Goodness gracious.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, so to kind of bring everybody up to speed, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge or wisdom. And the reason why the church is suffering today, in my opinion, is because we have we're losing our foundations. Amen. The Bible says that the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we're here to try to shore up the foundations of a church that desperately needs teaching, which is just another word for doctrine. All right, so we started a number of months ago with the doctrine of the Bible, because the Bible is our sole authority for truth, and we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture. Then we went to the doctrine of God, which is theology proper, and then the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Christ exalted. Then we looked at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at the doctrine of angels in three parts. The doctrine of angels, the doctrine of Satan, and the doctrine of demons. Very interesting study. I think that was right over Christmas. And then we went to, where did we go after that? The doctrine of man, anthropology, the doctrine of man. And now the doctrine of sin. Did you see the progression, how much sense it makes? You start with the Bible, you go to God and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, angels, man, sin, the fall of man. And then the next doctrine will be the doctrine of salvation, right? Then the doctrine of the church, then the doctrine of future things. As we finish up our study. All right, so over these weeks together, we're going to be looking at what is the nature of original sin. We're going to look at the law of God and the covenant of works. We're going to look at the cause of the fall and the imputation. What a great word. Imputation of Adam's sin on the human race. We talked about that, didn't we? Mm-hmm. In Adam, all die. We're going to talk about babies with all the Holocaust of abortion today. Where do babies go? Do they go to heaven, or are they just annihilated? Do they die in their sin because they're born with a sin nature? Interesting question. How many different kinds of sin are there, and how should we gain victory over sin? What's the anatomy of temptation and the tempter? And how does Arminian theology compare with Calvinistic theology on the subject of sin? Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we'll finish with crosswords, where we'll do a crossword puzzle using all the words that we've learned over these weeks together. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So we say 7 weeks. That's probably more like 10, depending on how many questions you all have. So today, let's read this together in lesson one, that little paragraph. Okay, ready? Here we go. What is the doctrine of sin, hamartiology? Why is it necessary to study the nature, character, effects, and consequences of Adam's sin?
What is the original sin committed by Adam and Eve? And how has it affected every human being since Adam and the beginning of time? All right. So the few definitions that we might use for the word sin is maybe transgression. Mm-hmm. Transgression, transgressor. So if you're a transgressor, you have stepped over the line. Mm-hmm. And there is a most definite line. In fact, the Bible says that God not only gave us his law, but he wrote it on our hearts, right? So we've talked about this, that somebody that says that they're an evolutionist, they believe in the survival of the fittest, they really should have no moral compass. And they should never get excited or upset when somebody steps over the line with them, because there is no line, right? If you're an evolutionist, you just believe that the strongest person wins. So if I want to take your stuff and I'm stronger than you, I should be able to do that. Well, wait a second. It's not wrong. It's wrong to steal. Well, who said? If I'm stronger than you, I ought to be able to take your stuff. All right. So transgression. We are all transgressors. So a definition of sin from Webster is a divine... wait, that doesn't make any sense. Let's put this, a transgressor of divine law. Agree or disagree? I hope there's nobody that disagrees with that statement.
Sounds good.
Most people would say, an admission, I'm a sinner. That's why it's so wonderful when you see the way of the master, when they do their evangelism, they ask the question, have you ever lied? Well, I'm a good person. Well, have you ever lied? Well, yeah, that would make you a
liar.
Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, that would make you a
thief.
Have you ever looked on a woman or a man in an adulterous way? Well, yes, that would make you an
adulterer.
So you, by your own admission, are a lying, thieving adulterer. You know, most of us don't like that approach because it's pretty black and white. Mm-hmm. But people are convicted by the law. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the law today. What is the law's purpose? And it's not to save us. Mm-hmm. What is the law's purpose?
To show us that we're sinners.
Yeah, to condemn us, to show us we're sinners, right?
So on question one, if you said, what are the different definitions the world might
use? Oh, okay, all right.
So to me, it's like mistake, error.
Okay, thank you, because that's where I made my error. I actually put in the blank transgression of divine law or transgressor. So the world would say what? Thank you, Sheree.
A mistake.
Yeah.
Or I made an error.
A little white lie.
Oops.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Oops, I killed somebody. Yeah.
Oops. Yes.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm a sinner, so I'm going to sin. I can't help myself. All right, thank you, Sheree, for that sharp eye.
Just helping me out, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. I need all the help I can get. All right, so the etymology, which is just the origin of a word, of hamartiology, is from the Greek word hamartia.
Mm-hmm.
Which means to miss the mark. Is that right there, Pat?
Yes, sir.
All right. I got a Greek student here. We have another Greek student here. All right. Hamartia, to miss the mark. So the nature of sin, what do you think the nature of sin is? Number three is hamartia, to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, what do you think the nature of sin is?
Nature of sin, self, being selfish.
Yeah, that's very good, Lola. It's self-centeredness.
Mm.
What's the middle initial of sin?
I.
Right. What's the middle initial of pride?
I.
Me
too.
And our pride is the problem. We don't want to bow our knee or our heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And human nature is to never admit
were wrong. So the inherent character and constitution of a person or a thing, the essence of our personhood, is defensiveness. The human nature of sin is pride, arrogance, the evil way. The larger catechism, what is the catechism? Anybody know what the catechism is? What's the meaning of the word catechism? It's just to ask questions and to give answers. So the Roman Catholic Church has a catechism. The Reformed churches of America and around the world have a catechism. And simply, it's a way of teaching through questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest, and we never did this as a family, not to the extent that we...
I did it in homeschooling.
Yeah, Sri did it in homeschooling. But if we did a better job of catechizing our kids, we may not have the problems that we do today with them not understanding who God is,
right,
what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are clearly written out. So the larger catechism, question 24, says, sin is any want or conformity unto or transgression of any law of God given as a rule to the reasonable creature.
Oh.
You can tell that nobody wrote that in today's...
People would have been offended by being called a creature. I'm not a creature, as Ernest T. Bass.
Ernest T. Bass. Don't call me a creature. I am not a creature.
Sorry, that's from Andy Graham.
All right, let's have you look up some scriptures. Who will look up 1 John 3:4?
I will.
Thank you. Galatians 3:10-12.
Got it.
Thank you, Lois. James 2:8-12. Okay, and Romans 7:7-13.
I do.
All right. You guys can share it. All right, so we're answering the question then, the nature of sin. And we're going right to the scriptures to see what the Word of God has to say about what sin is. We know what sin is not. Now let's look at what sin is. 1 John 3:4, who has that?
Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Oh. Sin is lawlessness.
I think that's probably a very definitive statement of what sin is, lawlessness. All right, very good. So when we practice sin, it's lawlessness. Wow. I want you to think about that for a second. The practice of sin is lawlessness.
Yeah.
Well, any thoughts on that? Yes?
We're all criminals. We're criminals of sin.
Yeah, we stepped over the... We're lawbreakers. We stepped over the line. We are.
So
we're
many of
guilty.
The ideologies today are promoting the chaos in order to point you in one direction, something. And that's lawlessness.
Yeah.
Sin.
So whatever God says, they're working tirelessly to do just the opposite.
Right.
The definition of lawlessness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
What's interesting, you know, is the word anomia. Anytime you put an alpha in front of a word, it means just exactly opposite of what it's supposed to mean. So lawless, namos, is the same word in the Septuagint that God gave to Moses for the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
These are my standard. Anomia is not to listen to that standard.
Oh, okay.
So don't listen to the Word of God. Why? Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's not lawlessness. It's the exact opposite. It's namos. It's the law of God. It's the standard.
Well, well done. Well said. Thank you, Pat. Galatians 3:10-12. Who has that?
Me. For as many as are under the law, works of the law, are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And 12 is, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them.
So under the law, we are under a curse. Under the law, we are under a curse. James 2, 8 through 12.
That would be me. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to those who have shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Wow. Wow. That is a mouthful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So were you just struck by that? If you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. So how dare anybody say, I'm a good person. No, you're not. If you stumble at one point, you're guilty of all. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees who thought they were perfect, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
So Jesus was a huge critic of the Pharisees, right? The scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers of Judaism in that day. And why so? Because they puffed themselves up as being keepers of the law when they were the greatest offenders of it. There was no humility there. There was no brokenness there. They didn't stand before the people and say, you know, this is what the law says, but you know what? I'm guilty of it, just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
There was no culpability whatsoever. They stood in the public square, and their attitudes were more puffed up and arrogant than the rest of the people, and Jesus brought them down hard. Okay. Romans 7, 7 through 13.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful.
Wow.
That's a mouthful, too.
Boy, she's a great reader, isn't she?
She is.
I just love listening to you.
Put her on TV.
Yeah, I love listening to you read. So, I mean, there's just a lot to unpack in that passage. But basically what the Apostle Paul is saying is the law isn't sin. The law just simply reveals it, and what it basically does, it condemns us. So that now we know our sin is that much more egregious because we have broken the law of God. The nomos, right? We've broken the law of God. And through that breaking transgression, the law, the sin has become exceedingly sinful. Yes?
One of two of the most beautiful parts of the Bible, like Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, just talks about precepts, laws, and testimonies, and how they enlighten us as sinful people the ways of God. In Psalm 119, you know as well as I do, is the longest chapter in the Bible speaking of the precepts and laws of God.
But it's such a love story. It's such a...
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's... That's... I don't know. A love poem. That's all it is. You
it
know?
Is.
When
yeah,
you read that.
Mm-hmm.
Well said, Lars. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. So... what are we doing? We're revealing the nature of sin, so that we know the wretchedness of it and the consequences of it, that all of us are exceedingly sinful. All right? So now what we're going to talk about is the character. What is the character of sin? What does it involve? Well, first of all, sin is a specific kind of evil. And sin was found in the heart of Satan. And then it was found in the heart of Eve. And then it was found in the heart of Adam. And as we said earlier, in Adam, all sin, the sin nature is passed through the man. That's why we believe in the virgin birth. Because Jesus could not have been conceived by Joseph. That would have made him sinful. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, which makes him holy God and holy man. He was 100% God and 100% man. I was telling this to a person yesterday as we were talking about this subject. Every false cult and world religion apart from Christianity messes up the impeccability of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of Christ in his humanity or his deity. They'll either magnify the deity over the humanity or the humanity over the deity. And Jesus was fully God, fully man. He was the God-man. All right? Number two, their sin is a want of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Sin is a principle or nature as well as an act. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So isn't that an irony? You think you know your heart? You know, we get defensive when somebody holds us to account. We say, wait a second, I know my heart. No, you don't. Sometimes it takes somebody outside of us to look at us and say, it's just a parent. You don't know what you're doing. The heart of man is deceitful. So when you think of deceit, what does that mean?
It's a lie to.
What's that?
Lie to.
Yeah. So we lie to ourselves.
We lie to ourselves.
Yeah. We see we always put ourselves in the best light. Even when we're trying to put ourselves in the worst light, as we said in our message a couple Sundays ago, it's just a way of trying to get a pity. I'm such a bad person.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yes, yeah, you are.
I really am. Okay, you are. You're worse than you think you are. That doesn't play well in today's society.
We're more of a mess than we think we are.
Yeah. So I went to see the pastor for some comfort. And I told him how horrible I was, and he agreed with me. I would suggest you never go back to see that man. Matthew 7:17-18 says that a good tree is known by its good fruit, and an evil tree by its evil fruit. Can a good tree produce evil fruit? Interesting question. Can a good tree produce evil fruit? Let's look at the passage and see. We'll start reading at verse 15. Somebody want to read 15 through 20? Matthew 7.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the scripture says what in answer to that question?
No.
All right. So, what would you call a Christian who sins? We talked about that last week or last time when we were talking about, you know, is there a state of carnality?
A Christian that sins is a carnal Christian.
Right.
If he lives in it.
There you go. It is a state of being that's not convicted. Jesus isn't speaking here of conviction. I mean, we all sin, right? But we're not going to allow that sin to destroy us, or, well, gosh, I gotta be careful how I say this, because sin does destroy, right? A Christian who continues to sin and A, is not aware of it, and B, doesn't care about it, really can't call himself a true believer, because a believer is going to know that they're sinning and be grieved by it. In fact, I've said for years, you've heard me say it many times, the most miserable person on the planet is
a Christian not living for the Lord.
A Christian that's out of fellowship with God. Yes, Pat?
Well, I was just saying about the book of 1 Corinthians, why was it written?
Yeah.
It's a flat open rebuke of Paul to the Corinthian church because of their carnality.
Right.
Okay? And he lists a whole bunch of things that the Christians were doing that were of this world, Satan's evil system, and says, do I commend you in this? No, I will not commend you in this.
Yeah.
And then take a look at Galatians chapter 2, the same thing, which is a polemic, as Paul confronts Peter face to face because of his carnality, his hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And so we all sin, thanks be to God for mercy and grace. That's why we study the Bible, to make sure that we don't try to do. But Paul said, don't do this. This is bad.
Yes. Yeah, and thank you for that, Pat. But, you know, it's interesting as you look at that passage we just read. We looked at the negative side of it, but let's look at the positive side. If you're a believer, you will bear good fruit. You can't help it. So there will be the fruit of the Spirit, which is love in 9 flavors. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay, you will be manifesting fruit in your life. You say, well, I don't see any fruit in my life. Well, others may and should. If you're a true born-again Christian, you will bear fruit. And by the way, and I love to say this, the older you are, the more fruit should be on your tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We had a fruit tree that we planted, and none of them are around now. It's just hard to keep fruit trees in Arizona and Kingman. But we didn't take proper care of it. That was part of the problem. But the second part is that it just never bore any fruit to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
And
they said it's because we needed two on the property.
Yeah, we needed
to pollinate.
Yeah, to pollinate. All right, Matthew 15:19. Let's look at, since we're in Matthew, let's look at 15 over there. For out of the heart, remember that we talked about that a couple of weeks ago in anthropology? For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So it's from the heart of man that evil comes, because the heart is corrupted. Matthew 5:21, again from the heart, 22, 27, and 28. Romans 7:8 and 9, again the law of God, the evil heart. And this is what Pat was talking about earlier with
The Apostle Paul, let's look over there real quick. Romans 7, 8, 9. This is what you were reading, Linda. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me, I'm glad that I came back to this, all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. So, you know, remember the illustration I used years ago when I had wet paint signs all over the church?
I do.
And then I asked the question, how many of you touched the wall? What is the sign wet paint do in us? Do not touch.
We want to touch.
It's like, do not touch. I didn't want to touch before, but now I want to touch. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Stay off the grass. I'm dancing on the grass.
Just stick one foot over.
Yeah. And what is that? Transgression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's stepping over the line.
Uh-huh.
We just have it within us. So the law elicits within us a desire to transgress. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You know, in the Titus study that we're doing right now, that's reminded me of how we have things that we want to do and that we need to be praying for God to change our want to.
Yeah. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said. Let's look back to Romans 6, 12 through 14. The character of sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present, keep offering, the NIV says, your members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members. So, what are the members of your body? We've got this club. All right, your body, your name. I've got this Pete Ernst club, and I've got members of the club. The members are my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, my hands, my feet.
Your heart.
Right, my heart. So Paul says, don't keep presenting your members as being alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So start acting like a Christian. Stop presenting your members as instruments of unrighteousness to God, or to sin. 1 John 1:8. Few more minutes left. You guys have been great. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Mm-hmm. 1 John 3 verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. Mm-hmm. The next thought there is sin is essentially selfishness. I was watching a Twitter video this morning, and it was really interesting. It was a guy that, you know, all these people in their cars are making these videos, and this guy was talking about the moral debate of taking lives in abortion. Or even infanticide now, right? Mm-hmm. Taking the life of a baby as it's survived abortion. It's fighting for its life on the table. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to give it to you straight. I loved it. It was just great. He was mad. He said, you know what it is? It's selfishness. Mm-hmm. It's just selfishness.
Everywhere.
You know, you need to call it what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and he went on to say, you know, you're talking about for the life of the mother, the health of the mother, for incest and rape. He said that's less than 1% of abortions.
Right.
You need to face the fact 99% of abortions is because you're too selfish
yes.
to not take responsibility for your own. I mean, he just went on. It's like I was watching it going, yeah, give it to them.
And quite frankly, even in the realm of the really horrible things, that 1 or 2% of rape or incest, it is still selfishness because God gave that life.
That's right.
You know, for whatever reason, it's so hard to understand and grasp. That life has been created.
And it's not the baby's fault.
That's right. And who are we to end that life?
Yeah.
It's
just
unconscionable. A sense of selfishness.
Yeah, and you know, it's just—it's interesting with this unplanned movie that's come out that a number of people that work in the abortion industry are leaving it.
Good.
It's really quite remarkable. Yeah, Pat, what you got for us?
Well, of course, it's my way, my view. We live in a Romans chapter one time.
Yeah.
And if you don't get a mindset on that, you'll never truly understand what's going on. And when God says God gave them over three times, it's body, mind, and spirit.
Yes.
And it's an aorist tense verb. It's a snapshot picture. And today when you see the LGBT or whatever you want to call them, they perverted everything. I looked at this the other day when we got a little rain. I saw God's beautiful covenant with Noah with the rainbow. What did Satan do? LGBT, what they identified with right now, a rainbow.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a perversion.
Yeah.
Here's the grace and gift of God to mankind, and what did Satan do? And people are buying the lock, stock, and barrel. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who are perishing. And it's a spiritual war. It's just that simple. When you look behind the scenes of what's going on, we know that.
That's so well said, Pat. And today, if we wanted to celebrate the covenant that God made with Noah, and we waved a rainbow flag over our home, people would drive by and say,
Yeah.
You know, they've stolen it.
Yes.
Right?
They think they have.
Some beautiful perverted.
Yeah.
But that's what Satan does.
Yes.
He's the absolute opposite of what God wants.
Yes.
Yes.
God wants marriages to be successful. Satan wants them to be destroyed. He's opposite of everything.
Yeah. And just to kind of review with one of our elders here, this is one of the reasons why when we changed the name of the church, there were those that said, why do you want to change the name of the church? And we went all over the place trying to think of the name. We thought, well, what hill do we want to die on? Satan's all about destroying marriage and the family.
Yes.
Right? The family is the cornerstone of society. The Word of God is under attack in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah.
Without apology, we are family, Bible Church, the family of God, the Word of God, and the Bride of Christ. And we make no apologies for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we won't take the time to do number six there on the next page. I wanted to give you opportunity to think of the consequences of sin. And we could go on and on and on, right? Thinking of the individual, the family, the church, the workplace, the job, we have seen the taint of sin in our lifetime. It's incredible. Some of you that are older still, it's egregious to see how far we've fallen in just, you know, a couple of generations.
Yeah.
So the original sin that we'll talk more about next week is found in Genesis chapter 3. It was the choice of Adam. Eve chose to listen to the serpent. Adam chose to listen to his wife. Let that be a lesson to you, Dave.
I have no problem with being astray. I'm really good with it.
It's a good thing that Dave and Diane know me so much, my sense of humor. We're not going back to that church anymore. I don't have to take this. So how has the human race been infected since Adam? Who carries the sin nature? Well, that's man. And that's just kind of a crazy question. We are not just infected, we're polluted. We see the degeneracy of man in our country, in our world. And we just shake our heads and we ask ourselves, why are we even having this discussion? Why should there even be legislation on saving the life of a baby?
I know.
Why are we even talking about it?
I know.
is because of the evil of man. Right? So next time when we come back...
What about number nine?
Well, let's look at number nine. What is it?
Do we sin because we're sin?
Oh, provocative question. Do we sin because we're sinners?
Yes.
Or are we sinners because we sin?
We sin because we're sinners.
Amartya. Amartya.
Martyology. We missed the mark. Amen.
All right. Any closing remarks before we close in prayer?
I appreciate you. You worked so hard through all this. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, but
we appreciate it.
I depend on my wife to get it right.
Yeah, she said, I missed that word, world.
Yeah. All right. Father, thank you for this morning and for the reminder once again of our desperate need of you. And thank you, Lord, that you came.
Mm-hmm.
You chose to come and save us from our sin. That was your mission, to seek and to save those who are lost.
Yes,
the Lord bless the morning worship service. Bless our brother Richard. Thank you for making me pick up the phone. Be reminded of that commitment. We just pray your mighty blessing upon him. And Lord, may you be glorified in all aspects of the day. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Lord's Day, everybody.
Okay.